Well, it is good to be here with you. And I'm excited because of the certain passage that we're in 1 Corinthians that we started with last week. And it's looking at spiritual gifts. And to illustrate that, I brought a couple of things here to help me. I brought a drill, a hammer, and if I get them wrong, let me know, okay? And sandpaper, clearly used. But, and I want to put up this picture here, these were used to make a project. Because this week, and a little bit last week, this week, I was in charge of the house. Well, I take that back. I'm never in charge of the house. I was commissioned to go and clean the yard and clean and fix and things. And there was help from many people as well. But it needed to get done. And one of the things that was, and I did find out this too, that it's a true saying, Home Depot became my friend. And I now understand what it means to go to Home Depot 3 times in 1 day and draw blood. Okay, I get that now. I'm like, why couldn't I get enough mulch the first time? Okay, so anyways. But there was something I had to make. And this is what it looked like. That's a donut wall, okay? Now this is crazy because you're like, you made a donut wall out of everything? But here's the interesting thing. I'm not the engineer type. I'm not the mechanically inclined. That would be for most of my family, except me. So I had my dad come out, but he didn't know we were making a donut wall. So he thought we were putting a mailbox in the front yard. And if you look right now, there is no mailbox. So clearly there has been some miscommunication. So he comes over, and my dad, this is how he thinks, because he's an engineer, and he brought all his tools to get ready to put this mailbox together, because he's going to do it right. Well, it didn't have the right color mailbox, so that wasn't going to go up. So instead, a donut wall needed to be made. And I love what he said, because this goes perfectly. It's almost as if he knew I was going to speak on this. But he said, in not a very happy tone, how much easier it would have been if he knew we were going to construct something like that. Because he could have brought the right tools. Now, instead, we made it work, right? But we had to do a lot more sanding than usual. We had to improvise a little bit more because we didn't have the correct tools. And I love that because it made me think of spiritual gifts. Because they are like tools. They are to equip us for God's kingdom work. Spiritual gifts are designed to make our lives more meaningful and to make our ministry more fruitful. To not know or to use your spiritual gift would be like trying to build something like that or a house, but without the tools. And we know even if it eventually gets done, like for my sake, it would take many more hours or take longer because we're not using the right tools or not using the tools at all. And so some things maybe won't get done if we don't use the right tools. So as we continue looking through spiritual gifts from Pastor Jim's message last week, Paul leads us further into the point of spiritual gifts. And we already know from verse 1, Paul says that we are not to be uninformed about spiritual gifts, that we are supposed to know these. And we also remember that it is the Holy Spirit that gives us these gifts. And we have, each of us have a gift that is given by God to use. Yes, that's every single one of you. And so let's expand more into this significant portion of Scripture and see what the Lord has for us today. I'll be starting in verse 12, and we'll just be reading different chunks as we go along here. Verse 12, the 13. Speaking about the body of Christ. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And so just as we would want to know what each tool is and its purpose, so it is with wanting to focus on what makes up the body. And just as we personally believe that each of us has a purpose and many purposes from God, so we recognize that there's a purpose for the body of Christ, all of us together, the people of God. And so I want to go through these quickly to kind of give an identification of the body. And the first one, you can write these in your notes here, is that Christ is the head of the body. He is the head. He is in charge of everything that goes on up here. And he's in control of the rest of the body. As it says in Colossians 1:18, it says, "And he, Christ, is the head of the body, the church." Very clear. "He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy." Amen. So it wasn't the church or the pastor's idea to be able to put things together. No, it was Christ. That he sets forward the vision, he sets forward the purpose, and he's the one that gave people their gifts accordingly. Not what we say. But second, we all form one body, and we all have parts that make up the body. So say all. All. And this is important because it's all is mentioned in these two verses three times, but in our passage today, the word all is mentioned 12 times. That's pretty important. All. This means not many bodies, but everybody. And this doesn't include anybody, but everybody is somebody. Okay, I'll stop now. Okay, you're like, where are you? Wow, that's how did you do that? But it says here in verse 12, "But all its many parts form one body." And I love that because in my own journey of finding out spiritual gifts, I came from a Bible-believing church that believes in the Bible and everything, and maybe have heard about spiritual gifts, but it's one thing to hear about it and then another thing to either put it into practice or see it be done. And so it took for me to read Scripture on my own and to kind of seek it and figure this out and say, hey, there's something about spiritual gifts. And there's a list here in 1 Corinthians 12, like we looked at last week, and a little bit more here. But there's also a list in Romans 12. There's also another list in Ephesians 4 and a few in 1 Peter 4. And then there might be some more. Enough to say that there are at least, there's different interpretations as to how many spiritual gifts there are. That's a whole another sermon. But maybe about 20 to 30. And that also determines if you think they're just exhaustive. There's some that would say that these are just examples of spiritual gifts, that there's many more because we have a creative God. There's good argument for that. But it's exciting when you find out the way that God has gifted you so you can walk into that calling. And to see that these are tools so that you can be successful in what God has for you. And this doesn't mean just in the church and ministry, but a lot of times your spiritual gifts are used in your workplace. They can be used in your home life. They can be used in your prayer life. Whatever it may be, that they're supposed to enhance what God has for you. And so let's continue on here. This section that we're looking at, I want to call it the blessing of diversity. The blessing of diversity. Starting in verse 14. "Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye," that would be interesting, "where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be?" So we see here, going back to verse 14, that the body is not just made up of one part, but of many. And we have this allegorical sense of a giant eye walking around, and we wouldn't want that. But that the body is made up of multiple parts, and that's why it's necessary, that there's diversity. And I think sometimes we wonder, well, I'm not sure about my gift or how this works, but sometimes it's even in the way that you process things. That the way you process and the way you think could lead to how you're gifted. So let me give you a little illustration here. let's say that we're at, what's an event coming up on Sunday? The neighborhood block party. That's a good one. I love the little plug-ins here, right? And let's say I'm carrying a dish out in the parking lot, because, you know, the parking lot's not clean. And let's say it's a dish of, what's someone's favorite? Spam musubi, okay? I have this giant dish of spam musubi, right? Because everyone loves that. And if you haven't tried it yet, then you're forgiven, but it's great. And let's just say I accidentally trip and it falls all over the parking lot. I know, that's a crime in itself. But now, let's just say you're all witnessing this. Here are some of the things that you could either think or say that could illustrate perhaps the way you're gifted. And some of these I'm stretching, but it illustrates the point. Others are very direct. So you could have the gift of service and say, oh, let me help you clean that up, right? Or maybe the gift of giving. Oh, here, don't worry about that. You can have mine. Or maybe the gift of prophecy. You know, I felt that the Lord gave me a dream yesterday that there was going to be spam musubi that just fell over the ground. I didn't know what was going to happen today. This must mean something. Or the gift of teaching. You know, the reason why the spam musubi fell is because you leaned it too much on one side and so it was top heavy. So, you know, that's the reason. The gift of exhortation. You know, next time, maybe you should let someone else carry it because you were doing way too much. Gift of mercy. Oh, don't feel bad. It's okay. I dropped something just yesterday. Gift of leadership. You know, we should get more people together from other churches and make sure that these type of incidents where there's food that falls on the ground does not happen. We can do this. Just rally the troops. Gift of administration. You know, next time we should plan accordingly, a couple weeks in advance, write it all down so we can make sure that there's a right pathway so you don't bump into anything, okay? So we're going to meet 5 o'clock, and then it goes on and on. And my favorite, the gift of miracles, right? You know what? Don't worry because somehow, somewhere, God is supernaturally going to give you a new spam musubi. Oh, here the person comes. How did you know? Oh, I had this prompting that I was supposed to give it to you. Amen. Hallelujah, right? And of course, this is just a fun way of doing it. And there's many more gifts, but they just can't all apply to the scenario as some were stretched. But it's a fun way of looking at the same type of event that happened, that there was a variety of perspectives in how we think and would act. That can lead to our gifting. And perhaps many of us would say, oh, I could picture myself saying or doing that. And if not, it's okay because we're all gifted in different ways. And verse 18 says, in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. So God knew what's best in the way you are gifted. He knew what's best. And so you are to be celebrated for the gifts that you have and how they contribute to the kingdom of God. But sometimes, if we're going to use the body illustration, that just as a body, when it gets sick, and for me, when I get sick, it's 95% of the reason why is I didn't get enough sleep. So my immune system begins to shut down, and then now I have to take time off of work to be able to rest, and you get the idea. But if everyone is not contributing, if everyone is not walking in their gifting, if everyone is not walking in who God has called them to be in their spiritual gifts, it's as if the body is sick. It's as if the body is malnourished and it hasn't been fed. And so we get sick when we feel that we don't belong or are not being used. And so this passage also leads to reasons why we shouldn't feel inferior about our gifts. We shouldn't feel inferior. Because God gave us the gifts, amen? And there are a couple of reasons why we might feel inferior, and perhaps we've all felt this way. One might be we don't know what our gift is. Perhaps you were like me and you didn't know. I mean, you were brought up in church, but nobody told you about this. They didn't say, you know, you have this spiritual gift. We don't all have that. Or we could have a false perception that maybe only pastors have it or the ones up front. Or what I see on Sunday, if I don't have those gifts, then there's no part for me. But that's a false paradigm that has to be changed because there's more to ministry than just Sunday mornings. Amen? Could be our past hurts are holding us back from who God's called us to be. That somebody said that we weren't good at so-and-so and so-and-so, so we think we're not gifted or we're not good enough in that. And this one is a big one where we might feel inferior because we start looking at the person or persons who are more gifted than we are. So we look and we say, well, that person's so hospitable. I mean, I like it, but I'm not like them. And we start comparing, saying we have to be like the person. That would be like myself preaching and saying, you know, I just can't be like Billy Graham. Well, God has never called me to be Billy Graham. He's called me to be Nathan. And he's called you to be you. But we also could not just look at the person, but the results. That, oh, I didn't bring as many people to Christ as Billy Graham. Or I don't host as many people in my home as so-and-so. And we can't do that. Because then that's the enemy robbing us of our joy and our giftedness for who we are supposed to be in the body. And his goal is to make us ineffective and inefficient Christ followers. That's his goal. That's his goal. So the antidote to inferiority is actually thinking that diversity is required in order for the body to function properly. That there's not one gift that has it all. That's the make it or break it. And so we could do that is go to verse 17. And we say, instead of saying the parts of the body, let's put in some of the gifts. We could say, if the whole body was leadership, then where would those who follow be? If the whole body were pastors, then where would the congregation be? You see, and you keep putting it in. The different gifts. We all need each other. The very existence of a body as a viable organism depends on the union and cooperation of individual members that carry out their different functions. And so you have to realize this, that don't focus on the brokenness. Don't focus on the areas where you feel misplaced. But you carry the gift inside of you. The Holy Spirit is there to be able to not just for salvation, but show others the love of Christ. And the tools that you've been given can lead people to Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, in the New Living Translation says, for we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. So it's not a matter about this. It's a matter of this. Of who we point to. And that we want to know and show others the love of Christ. And so if that section showed the blessing of diversity, here we have the blessing of unity in our next section. The blessing of unity. Starting in verse 20. As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has placed the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part honors with it. There was a beautiful illustration of this just this last weekend where I went to a citizenship ceremony that there was, and it was amazing because you just see all these people who are there and who have went through the waiting, who have went through the hard work, have went through that whole process and they're now becoming American citizens. There was 3,469 people in this building. And here's the amazing thing, 107 different countries were represented. Isn't that incredible? And that they're now choosing to say, you know what? I love my new country. I want to be an American. And the judge said this quote that I'm like, yes, you must know I'm preaching on Sunday. But she said this. It's from Martin Luther King Jr. that he said this. We may have all come on different ships, but we're in the same boat now. I love that. That it doesn't matter where we came from. And he's not just talking about race, but we can look at even more specific things, that backgrounds, experiences, education, different church denominations, whatever it may be. And we've come together to be in this room. So if you look around you, look at how diverse we are. you can look at the person next to you. It's okay. It was literal. But that there's power in unity. And this is important because unity doesn't have to be always in numbers. Because what I've seen going on in many politics and even with certain bills that might even be against Christianity is that they had a common purpose to unite to go against Christians. The reason why certain bills have even got so far to go against Christianity is because there was a united focus. So imagine what we would do if we were united. Amen. And so there's actually a time for prayer after second service to pray against some of the legislation over in room one, if you're interested. So we could put that to practice. But that there's power in unity and coming together. But this passage is also dealing with, if there was no reason to feel inferior, there's also no reason to feel superior. Dealing with both ends. Two different sides of the same coin. Because the eye and the head both have a problem here in this illustration. They're both saying, I don't need you, to the hand and to the feet. Because in their estimation, they view their own gifts as being greater in comparison to the gift of others. And this just made me think of this because I'm an Apple guy, so I got a Mac that I work on. One thing you can always appreciate about Apple products is their packaging, okay? I mean, look at this. It's just so sleek and clean. I feel like Vanna White up here. But you look and you open it up. It's like, wow, it's so clean. And I know so many people that keep these boxes or they reuse them because of how clean the packaging is. But people that tend to focus too much on the actual spiritual gifts is very much like focusing on just the Apple packaging. We're neglecting the actual product inside. We're not focusing on the actual gift that's inside of us, which is Jesus Christ. Amen? There would be no point to purchase that product if the product wasn't in it just because of the wrapping. But if we focus too much on just a spiritual gift and not who it honors, then it neglects its whole purpose. Does that make sense? And so a superior feeling happens when the eyes of the person become focused on the spiritual gift more than the gift giver. And that's in our attitude. We have to come at everything with humility. The Holy Spirit's the one that's given us these gifts, and we are to use them. And so if we are known, let's say somebody has a teaching gift, and somebody comes up to you and says, oh, well, you know, you do such a great job. And, you know, we're supposed to accept praise as what you're supposed to do, but do we give God the glory in that? But not only that, in our own thought process, do we think we're indispensable? Because we shouldn't. God can raise up anybody he wants to do what he wants. So if we think, well, this ministry is not going to work without me because, you know, it's me. Or this job can't get done without me. That's a false attitude. That's not walking in humility. We can't think of ourselves as indispensable. But ironically, as it says back to our passage here, it says that the ones that are indispensable to think are the ones that would be perceived as weaker parts. And this makes sense in a natural body, doesn't it? That the weaker parts that are more indispensable would be things like the brain. Without this thing, you're gone. The heart, the lungs, the internal organs. Those would be considered weak, wouldn't they? If anyone gets injured in one of those parts, it can be serious. But if someone hits my arm and takes it off, yeah, that would be very unfortunate. But I can still survive. I can still even thrive. But this would be the hands and the feet and the legs and the arms. It would be perceived as the strong ones. You don't flex your organs. You flex the bicep, right? This is what you're showing off. And I, not me, but haven't been to the gym lately. And so behind the scenes people, you are more valuable than you think. That it's not always about those that are up front. It's not always about those that do the speaking. But the church would not be the church. The body of Christ would not function without you. And so if you are one of those people that you're like, well, I don't go up in chair. I don't do this. I don't. It's okay. You don't have to be. But walk in the gifts that God has given you, because you are more valuable than you think. From the ushers to making the coffee to the greeting, all of these things matter. Because yes, some people might say, well, I come because of a sermon, but actually more people stay because of the fellowship of the people. Right? And so when we see someone walk through the door that's new, think they are valuable. Let's go out of our way and greet them, because they may want to stay because of your welcome. And they say that a new person needs to meet at least three people for them to even want to stay. So are you one of those three? Don't be like, well, I don't feel like being social today. No, do it. That's good. You're valuable. You can do it. I like talking to people. I can't do that to everybody. And so you are invaluable. That you have so much value that the church would not function without you. And even those that would be up front, they have to protect those that maybe don't. And so we give honor to those that are behind the scenes. That's why I love the different appreciations that come up for the ministries. Because those that are working in hospitality, those that are, helping with the parking lot, whatever it may be, they should have praise for what they do, because it's amazing. We all have different gifts. And so turn to the person and say, you are gifted. That's right. And it's true. Because you are. And we want to protect one another as the body of Christ. We want to encourage one another as the body of Christ. And as it says back in verse 26, that if one of us is hurting, we all feel it. I mean, what's the reason why we have toes? It's not just for balance. It's to hit the sofa on the side of the couch, right? That's the whole reason why we have toes, so we can feel the pain go up through our whole body, right? And so when someone's hurting, and we say, if I'm plugged into my local church, not that you have to hurt when everyone hurts, but do you feel the pain? Do you pray? Do we want to come alongside those? And we also rejoice with those when something amazing happens to someone else, right? And you prayer people, you're so valuable, because that is not always seen. I always like to think of prayer as the blood, right? The life that goes through the whole body. Because it affects everything. And so keep praying. Keep praying for our nation. Keep praying for our leaders. Keep praying for our congregation. Pray for those that don't even know Jesus yet. Amen? And lastly, we have our commission, or our statement here, that you are the body. Let me read that here. It says, now you are the body, and each one of you is part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kind of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. See, diversity and unity is interdependence with Jesus. It's our body working together to move towards the things of God, what He wants. And even if one might be leading, it takes others to come alongside and support and to help and to administrate and encourage. And so you have been given a gift by God. But a gift is to be used in its original intended purpose. And so with that, we also see that operating in your spiritual gift or gifts is striving towards spiritual maturity. It's a sign that we're going in a direction that God created the body to intend it to be. Ephesians 4:12-13 has a similar list of this, but I love what it says about maturity. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people, that's us, for the works of service, or for the works of ministry, or for the church, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become, here's the key word, mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:12-13. And I don't think, you know, the American church, the church as a whole, has not achieved the fullness of Christ. But it says here that we are to be part of becoming mature is to be engaged in the works of the church, of ministry, of doing what God's called us to do. And it even says here that there's a list that a pastor's job is to equip people for ministry. That means I'm not supposed to do it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But I'm not supposed to. And that spiritual maturity is discovering your gift, equipping you to walk in your gift, and empowering you to bear fruit in your gift. And if this isn't happening, we won't reach the fullness of Christ, the maturity that he wants for us. And if that's not happening, then I have to look first at the mirror at myself. Because I have to say, well, in my gift of leadership and a pastor, if people aren't walking in their spiritual gifts, then I'm not doing something right to equip. Right? Because I have to hold myself accountable before anybody else. Amen? And there's other reasons why, and there's those other offices listed there. But I think maybe we have to think outside the box. Perhaps the way we do church in America maybe isn't the way that it's designed to be. Have we thought about that? If everybody's not operating in their gifts, maybe we're not doing church right. So just think about that. Pray on that. Because if I had the answer, I would tell you. But maybe the answer doesn't come from me. Maybe it comes from the body of Christ. You see? Because what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to reveal Christ. The purpose of the church is to see captives set free, to see the blind actually see, the lame walk, marriages to be restored, children to come back to their fathers and their mothers, see people walk into their calling. The list goes on and on and on. And we as the local church, Venice, have a part in the bigger church to do that. So let's think about that. How do we do church? But one thing we can do while we think about that is this interesting phrase right at the end. Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And then there's another section which kind of tails off in chapter 13 that says, now we'll show you the most excellent way. But it says, now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Eagerly desire means to burn with passionate zeal. And when was the last time we had passionate zeal? Besides, like, when you're in a competition, you want to just destroy the opponent, right? Or maybe you love sports. You're like, yes, take that, right? I mean, passionate zeal. And it says that for the greater gifts, we're supposed to have that type of motivation. And so the greater gifts, it can be pointing to the how. And this is by exercising spiritual gifts, not for the sake of the gift, as I said with the packaging, but for doing everything in love. That the reason why these tools are given is not to exalt the tools, but to say that we can do things in a greater way to show Christ's love, which is what we're going to look at in the next chapter next week. The love chapter, right? The famous one, quoted before all marriages. Love is, and you fill in the blank. That's the reason why we do everything. Love God and love others. Amen? But there's also an indication that it's not just the how that this greater gift is pointing to, but actually the what. And there's a similar verse that we'll jump into as a teaser in two chapters from here in 1 Corinthians 14:1. That sounds very similar. It says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy. Oh, interesting. That this gift, and he's comparing it in light of tongues, because this was a gift that they exalted. That if you were super spiritual, you had this gift of speaking in tongues. Well, interestingly enough, in that list that we just read right here, it's last with interpretation. So he's just showing, hey, you guys are kind of having this gift projection thing a little too much. If you are going to appreciate any gift, it should be the gift of prophecy. Because that builds up the body. And we're going to, I don't want to go too much into that because that's for chapter 14. But the point of the gift of prophecy or prophetic word is to encourage and to comfort and to build each other up. So of course we would want to see that in the church. Amen? And so Paul's encouraging us to desire the greater gifts because they do the most good for the body of Christ. The Spirit distributes them as he sees fit. But wanting the greater gifts is an indication of our desire to do as much as we can for the kingdom and for our brothers and sisters. Perhaps Paul was implying that our desire to help build up the body of Christ could influence the Spirit's decision on which gift he wants to give us. So we come together corporately and ask, and we come together and we do that individually. But are we asking? Should, and we can't ask. We're allowed to go to the throne room and receive what we need. Like, we're welcome into God's courts. So we should ask. And so let's pray and enter time in prayer. We'll have the worship team come forward. Let's just come before the Lord and let's just ask, because we can. Amen? Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and how, as you being the head, you have orchestrated everything together to walk in the way that you have for us. And I know for some of us it may be difficult because perhaps this is the first time we've ever heard about spiritual gifts. For others, maybe we've heard this many times and we have only a few gifts in mind that we think. But Lord, I ask that right now, by your Spirit, that you would just reveal to us who you are in the midst of even this message. That we'll take a look at and see how we can contribute to the body of Christ, because that's what you've called us to be. And maybe it's a gift that we already have that we haven't used in a while. Or perhaps it's something entirely new. But what it says here in scriptures is that we are to earnestly desire the greater gifts to build up the body of Christ. So whatever that gift is for us, I just pray that you will speak to us right now, this week, this month, so that we'll continue to seek you and pray for those gifts so that we can have them, not to use them for ourselves, but to selflessly serve in them. And whatever that may be, those that are more behind the scenes, those that are more administrative, or those that are more supernatural, whatever that may be, Lord, we come before you and we want to ask, what gifts do you have for us? Help us have a renewed mind. Help us be like new wineskins, being able to hold the new wine that you have. Because we don't want to operate in the same way that we've done before so that the wine will burst. You won't give it to us in that way. But that we have to have a new mindset and operate in a new way. And perhaps that's being open to the gifts that you've given us. To not be afraid to try. Because we're willing to try new things in the natural. But we should also be willing to try new things by your Spirit. And so, Lord, thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for gifting my brothers and sisters here. Because without them, so many of us wouldn't be here. Not just by personal invite, but just by getting to know them, see their smile, check in on how they're doing, Lord. That it's a pleasure to come to church each and every day because we get to see them and their gifts. So, Lord, let their gifts shine because it points to the light of Christ. And we're thankful for each one. And we ask for more of your presence. In Jesus' name, all God's people say, amen.